shoals were not visible. Silver was hidden, and the river had no bed. In the twilight, the sun still shone bright, and at midnight, the girl with sweet grass in her hair placed the silver.
Or is your vision getting a little bit hazy? Or, if you're feeling a bit funny, get your friends and listen to CITR 101.9 on AstroTalk with Marco at UBC. Depend on Marco for the latest in astronomy news at CITR's AstroTalk. Get a lot smarter now by listening to AstroTalk on CITR 101.9.
Well, I guess spring means something, doesn't it? It's a certain day where something aligns in our... maybe solar system and the constellations. I should know this stuff, but I don't. So spring is here pretty soon, and thank goodness. One thing that did make me think a few weeks ago, I was watching a tape. I tape a lot of astronomy shows, and one said 500 million years and the age of the animals will be over. All animals, all plant life will be dead. There'll be no more animals on Earth. Now, that's a long time from now, 500 million years. But it saved me, wow, I thought we had billions of years left. But no, apparently 500 million years, and that could even be shorter than that. So why is it 500 million years? The person, the scientist, was saying the sun, every billion years, it brightens by 10%. And it's going to get bigger. It's going to become a red giant one day. And so this person said, and I'm not sure, he didn't explain how, but he said the sun will get hotter and it will pump all the carbon dioxide out of our atmosphere. I don't know what the process is for that, but apparently 500 million years, unless we move to another planet like Mars, or if we somehow can mitigate against that happening, the age of animals will be over. There'll be no more plant life, so there'll be no more animals. Very strange, very ominous, isn't it? It's a long time from now, but already our sun has been here for 5 billion years, so we think the time is will not come, but it will come. So welcome to the show. I'm going to talk about our solar system today and dust. Dust is a big thing. As we know, we clean our house and we got dust all over the place, don't we? It's not terrible, dust. But dust is very important. And I was hearing something the other day about how dust and hydrogen, everything clumps and it clumps and it clumps. And eventually the gravity pulls things together and new stars are born. So dust is out there, and I guess the dust is silicates and carbonates. I don't know exactly what that is off the top of my head. I did look it up one time. But dust is made out of silicone compounds and carbon compounds, and it's very important, and it's out there, and it blocks our view sometimes when we have telescopes and we want to see, or scientists want to see, out into the galaxy or wherever. Dust blocks the visible light, so we have to use other kinds of systems to look there, like infrared or X-ray telescopes. So dust is a big thing. So I found a nice little article here on NASA.gov, one of my favorite websites. I'd have to say my favorite website is www.emporis.com. That's E-M-P-O-R-I-S. That's a website about skyscrapers. I love looking at stats about skyscrapers, but I love looking at stats. I love astronomy too. I love astronomy more than skyscrapers, but the Emporis website, it's a very nice website. So here we have my second favorite website, www.nasa.gov. And there's an article from March 12, 2019, and it says, it's about dust. And it says, what scientists found after sifting through dust in the solar system. So we're going to talk about dust, and it has a picture here. So if anybody wants to go to that article now, March 12th, 2019, www.nasa.gov, it's in their first homepage. You click on it, it says, what scientists found after sifting through dust in the solar system. Just as dust gathers in corners and along bookshelves in our homes, dust piles up in space too. But when the dust settles in the solar system, it's often in rings. So there's a nice photo here. It shows the Sun, Mercury, Venus, and Earth, and it shows dust rings circling the Sun. So very interesting. I never knew dust came in rings. The rings trace the orbits of planets, whose gravity tugs dust into place around the Sun as it drifts by on its way to the center of the solar system. The dust consists of crushed up remains from the formation of the solar system some 4.6 billion years ago, rubble from asteroid collisions, or crumbs from blazing comets. Dust is dispersed throughout the entire solar system, but it collects at grainy rings overlying the orbits of Earth and Venus, rings that can be seen with telescopes on Earth. That'd be interesting to see. By studying this dust, what it's made of, where it comes from, and how it moves through space, scientists seek clues to understanding the birth of planets and the composition of all that we see in the solar system. Two recent studies report new discoveries of dust rings in the inner solar system. One study uses NASA data to outline evidence for a dust ring around the Sun at Mercury's orbit. So there's a dust ring at Mercury's orbit. Let's see. So two recent study. One study looks at the dust of Mercury's orbit. A second study from NASA identifies the likely source of the dust ring at Venus's orbit, a group of never-before-detected asteroids co-orbiting with the planet. So the second study looks at dust ring at Venus orbit, a group of never-before-detected asteroids co-orbiting with the planet. Now, as I said before, dust is really, really out there. because what happens is a lot of the telescopes that NASA or whoever uses are limited, the visible telescopes at least, because of dust. So dust accumulates and it blocks visible light. So a lot of the discoveries now that are made have to be made with infrared telescopes or other telescopes that can look through dust when the dust telescopes can't do their jobs. So dust blocks the visible, the telescopes that use visible light. So dust does block them from seeing many, many things. So new, for example, infrared astronomy, it's very important for looking at things that we can't see because of dust. Two recent studies, okay, I said that. One study looks at Mercury's orbit, one looks at Venus's orbit. So in Venus, there's a group of never before detected asteroids co-orbiting with the planets. So here, if you look at the article, it's March 12, 2019. It says, what scientists found after sifting through dust in the solar system. There's a beautiful illustration, and it shows these asteroids co-orbiting with Venus. Now, I am not sure why asteroids would not co-orbit with Mercury or co-orbit with Earth, but in this photo, it does show that they are co-orbiting with Venus only, and it shows quite a bit of asteroids. I'm sure they're not drawn to scale because the asteroids are much smaller than planets. But anyway, they're drawn here to show visually what it looks like. So back to the article. So says Mark Kuchner, an author on the Venus study and astrophysicist at NASA's Goddard Space Flight Center in Greenbelt, Maryland, and quote, it's not every day you get to discover something new in the inner solar system. This is right in our neighborhood, end quote. So there's the illustration here, and it says, in this illustration, several dust rings circle the sun. These rings form when planets' gravities tug dust grains into orbit around the sun. Recently, scientists have detected a dust ring at Mercury's orbit. Others hypothesize the source of Venus's dust ring is a group of never-before-detected co-orbital asteroids. So again, I am not sure why there would be asteroids co-orbiting with Venus, but no asteroids co-orbiting with Mercury and Earth. See, there's a lot still to discover in astronomy, and a lot of the theories are just that, theories. Scientists are not 100% sure on their hypotheses. So now we have dust rings in the inner solar system. And here's another smaller photo down there, and it shows kind of like a ring system like Saturn. And the article below, that it says, scientists think planets start off as mere grains of dust. They emerge from giant disks of gas and dust that circle young stars. Gravity and other forces cause material within the disk to collide and coalesce or clump. So this is another photograph, very much smaller. So I guess our small Earth was just clumps of dust before that eventually gathered and coalesced into a planet. So that's how they think planets are forming. Okay, so another subtitle, it says, another ring around the sun. Guillermo Stenborg and Russell Howard, both solar scientists at the Naval Research Laboratory in Washington, D.C., did not set out to find a dust ring. So says Stenborg, laughing, and quote, we found it by chance. The scientists summarized their finding in a paper published in the Astrophysical Journal on November 21, 2018. Sorry, I forgot the end quote earlier. They describe evidence of a fine haze of cosmic dust over Mercury's orbit, forming a ring some 9.3 million miles wide. 9.3 million miles wide. So that's pretty wide. I guess for us, that's a big distance. I don't know, in astronomical terms whether that's a big distance, but they a fine haze of cosmic dust over Mercury's orbit forming a ring some 9.3 million miles wide. Mercury, 3,030 miles wide, just big enough for the continental United States to stretch across, wades through this vast dust trail as it circles the sun. So it looks like the dust trail is there and Mercury just kind of goes through it. Ironically, the two scientists stumbled upon the dust ring while searching for evidence of a dust-free region close to the sun. At some distance from the sun, according to a decades-old prediction. I'm going to read that first sentence again. Ironically, the two scientists stumbled upon the dust ring while searching for evidence of a dust-free region close to the sun. So they were looking for a dust-free region close to the sun. At some distance from the sun, according to a decades-old prediction, the star's mighty heat should vaporize dust, sweeping clean an entire stretch of space. So there's no dust ring around the sun because of the heat. So there's a dust-free ring. Knowing where this boundary is can tell scientists about the composition of the dust itself and hint at how planets formed in the young solar system. So far, no evidence has been found of dust-free space, but that's partly because it would be difficult to detect from Earth. No matter how scientists look from Earth, all the dust in between us and the sun gets in the way, tricking them into thinking perhaps space near the sun is dustier than it really is. So it looks like when they're trying to look for this dust-free region, all the dust in between us and the sun obscures things, and they have no way of calculating exactly where this dust-free space is. And I could see that. Okay. Stenborg and Howard figured they could work around this problem by building a model based on pictures of interplanetary space from NASA's STEREO satellite, short for Solar and Terrestrial Relations Observatory. So here's another satellite, STEREO, called Solar and Terrestrial Relations Observatory. So NASA's got so many observatories, spacecraft, satellites, I can't keep track of them. So this one's called STEREO, Solar and Terrestrial Relations Observatory. Now, they build models based on pictures from STEREO satellite. Ultimately, the two people wanted to test their new model in preparation for NASA's Parker Solar Probe. So I've heard about that, which is currently flying a highly elliptical orbit around the sun, swinging closer and closer to the star over the next 7 years. They wanted to apply their technique to the images Parker will send back to Earth and see how dust near the sun behaves. So there's lots going on here, a lot of satellites, and they do these, I can guess I would put myself into their shoes. So here I am. I have this model, and I don't know how I got the model, but they somehow get these models, and they're really intricate models, and then they try to test them with their satellites. So when we come back, we'll learn more about what they're doing in outer space. This is Marco. You are listening to AstroTalk on CITR 101.9.
Stay, baby.
Don't get in no trouble.
Nah, we
that.
Just trying to witness
dance. You're staying alive on 101.9 with Marco on AstroTalk.
We got the refugees, all stars, rubber dubbing in the club. Y Club Jean.
Look at shorty got back. Should I ask her for a dance? Hold on, there's too many in the wolf pack. And besides, dirty cats talking to her. Buying her fake furs and taking her to the fever.
Welcome, you're listening to CITR 101.9. It's Thursday, it's 3 o'clock, and it's time for another 1/2 hour of astronomy talk with your host Marco on CITR's Astro Talk.
Playing Ouija's, check the spelling R-E-F-U-G-E. E, get the C
CD from Sam Goody. You ain't even close with the rhymes that you wrote. Don't be mad cause you broke. Let me clear my throat.
You're listening to Astro Talk with Marco on CITR 101.9 FM.
Me, I'm eating mangoes in Trinidad with attorneys. Yeah. My food slang flow worldwide like a current. Whip to every spot where nobody got insurance. Rubber do the math, you ain't half exotic. My man's claim true, you forget about it. Ho-ho, just a new sense, like my influence. Well recognized, you a lie trying to do it. Got you, told your lady, oops, we nuts, baby. Smooth and charismatic, automatic, you gon' save me. God bless the dead as my son survived. We strive to teach you, baby, and stay alive and alive.
Sorry, that ran out. I was going to try to put on an ad, and I was distracted by something. So we're talking about dust. And let's see. This board is really different for me today. I'm not sure what it's doing. So I'm going to put on another ad, and when I come back, we'll talk more astronomy.
Your hands on my head, with your finger in my ear. I guess I could just stay here and whistle away my fear. You walk so lightly, with a spring in your step. I like when you talk about what you haven't discovered yet. Babe, you've got one. Yeah, you look into my heart. He'll do anything for you. Makes you smile and laugh. Your hair was curly long before my time. It feels good to know that we're both almost past our prime. You're my little loving.
Last night I left the bar. I was thirsty, and I don't drink wine. I was desperate. I needed blood. I turned to the only place I could. The only place that could possibly help me.
Hello, Canadian Blood Services.
Hello. I need some blood. A. Positive or negative, it doesn't matter.
I'm sorry, we're all out of A positive and negative. Would you like some O instead?
No. No, that won't do. Thank you. Good night. Save me. Save yourself. Give blood. Voluntarily.
This message was brought to you courtesy of the Canadian Blood Services and CITR Radio 101.9 FM.
Welcome back. This is Marco on AstroTalk. I'm sorry, I'm trying to get things done here, trying to give my money for the fund drive. I hope everybody donated, and I have my money here, and I can't find anybody to give it to. So whoever wants some money, no, I'm sorry, I didn't mean that. Okay, so I'm talking about dust rings around the sun. So there's a dust ring 93 million miles wide. Sorry, no, 9.3 million miles wide. So one astronomical unit is 100 million miles. So that's the distance between Earth and the Sun. So this dust ring is 93 million miles, or 9.3 million miles. It's about 1/10 of an astronomical unit. That's pretty big. Then there's a dust ring around Venus with a lot of asteroids kind of floating around there, and there's dust ring around the Earth. So I'm going to I'm going to read more about this article. So here goes. Now there's a subtitle. That's where I got the ring from. The subtitle is Another Ring Around the Sun. Guillermo Stomberg and Russell Howard did not set out to find a dust ring, but they found it by chance. So they're using NASA's STEREO satellite to look at this. And the satellite, STEREO, S-T-E-R-E-O, is short for Solar and Terrestrial Relations Observatory. And there's a Parker Solar Probe, which is flying high around the sun in an elliptical orbit, and it's getting closer and closer with each swing over the next 7 years. So now they're collecting data on, and they're making models on the dust ring around the planets, that the planets carve out, and they never started out to do this. So let's see what their models and what their methods are. Scientists have never worked with data collected in this unexplored territory so close to the sun. Models like Stenborg and Howard's provide crucial context for understanding Parker Solar Probe's observations, as well as hinting at what kind of space environment the spacecraft will find itself in, sooty or sparkling clean. Two kinds of light show up in stereo images: light from the sun's blazing outer atmosphere, called the corona, and light reflected off the dust floating through space. So let's look at this again. Two kinds of light show up in the stereo images. So stereo is the observatory. There's light from the sun's outer atmosphere, the corona, and light reflected off all the dust floating through space. So the stereo satellite sees two kinds of light: the corona light and the light that is reflected off the dust that is floating through space. The sunlight reflected off this dust, which slowly orbits the sun, is about 100 times brighter than coronal light. So says Howard, and quote, we're just not really dust people. The dust close to the sun just shows up in observations, and generally we have thrown it away, end quote. Solar scientists like Howard, who study solar activity for purposes such as forecasting imminent space weather, including giant explosions of solar material that the sun can sometimes send our way, have spent years developing techniques to remove the effect of this dust. Only after removing light contamination from dust can they clearly see what the corona is doing. The two scientists built their model as a tool for others to get rid of the pesky dust in stereo, and eventually Parker Solar Probe images, but the prediction of dust-free space lingered in the back of their minds. If they could devise a way of separating the two kinds of light and isolate the dust shine, they could figure out how much dust was really there. Finding that all the light in an image came from the corona alone, for example, could indicate they found dust-free space at last. So they're going to devise a way to separate the two kinds of light and isolate the dust shine. So there's two kinds of light, one that comes from the corona itself and the kind of light that bounces off the dust. So if they could separate those two, they could find how much dust-free space there is there at last. Mercury's dust ring was a lucky find, a side discovery Stenborg and Howard made while they were working on their model. When they used their technique on the stereo images, they noticed a pattern of enhanced brightness along Mercury's orbit. More dust, that is, in the light they'd otherwise planned to discard. So they saw more dust shine, or light shining off the dust from Mercury's orbit, something they didn't know that was there. Says Howard, it wasn't an isolated thing. All around the sun, regardless of the spacecraft's position, we could see the same 5% increase in dust brightness or density. That said, something was there, and it's something that extends all around the sun, end quote. Scientists never considered that a ring might exist along Mercury's orbit, which is maybe why it's gone undetected until now. So says Stenborg, people thought that Mercury, unlike Earth or Venus, is too small and too close to the sun to capture a dust ring. They expected that the solar wind and magnetic forces from the sun would blow away any excess dust at Mercury's orbit away, end quote. So they thought Mercury was too close to the sun, and all the forces and the gravity and the wind and everything would blow the dust away. But it seems Mercury's more powerful than they thought. Mercury did have a gravity that could somehow make a dust ring. With an unexpected discovery and sensitive new tool under their belt, the researchers are still interested in the dust-free zone. As Parker Solar Probe continues its exploration of the corona, their model can help others reveal any other dust bunnies looking or near the sun. Dust bunnies. Okay, now we're going to look at Venus's dust ring. So there's a nice video here. Let's see if I can play it. What does it say? The sound is not coming out, but it shows a dust ring around Venus. There's a video. It's 1 minute, 3 seconds long, and it shows there a visualization of the planets circling, and as they circle, their gravity makes a dust ring. So, I don't know why it didn't go on. Let's see. Is it muted here? No. I'm sorry. I wanted you to hear it, but it's not. Okay, so asteroid hunting. So first, I'll try to explain about the visualization. So this visualization displays a simulation of the dust ring at Venus's orbit around the sun. Scientists hypothesize a group of never-before-detected asteroids orbiting the sun with Venus are responsible for Venus's dust ring. Okay, so you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go for a break now, and when I do go for a break, I am going to try to get this up and running so then we can somehow listen to this, and then I could play it for you. So thank you for listening. This is Marco. You are listening to Astro Talk on CITR 101.9.
Hey bro, I was kind of thinking that I might want to write like stuff for a magazine, dude.
You know you can do that at CITR and Discorder, right?
What?
Yeah, you can review live shows where you get in for free, or music and books and stuff that's coming out, or do write-ups on artists and local issues for Discorder magazine.
That's sick, bro.
Yeah, just email volunteer at citr.ca and they can help you get started or just come into the station whenever.
Dude, I totally will.
BC government now covers medications that could reduce your chances of contracting HIV by 90%. PrEP stands for pre-exposure prophylaxis and is a preventative measure that HIV-negative folks can take to reduce their risk of becoming positive. Health Initiative for Men suggests that if you have had sex with a partner with HIV, have had a recent STI, have multiple sexual partners, have a history of inconsistent or no condom use, are currently involved in sex work, or have had repeated courses of post-exposure prophylaxis, then you might want to think about looking into PrEP measures. CATR and Discorder are not medical professionals. Please refer to your doctor for more information.
She said there's nothing she would do for me.
Hello, this is Marco, and you're listening to Astro Talk with Stefan Don on CITR 4.9. I'm still every boy, so she's usually mad at me. I'm getting love from these groupies, I know, but you're the only one. But you're the only one. But you're the only one. The MDS, the MDS, when they see us, me and you. The MDS, the MDS, when they see us, me and you. Astro Talk on CITR 101.9. So let's get back to our dust rings. So there are asteroids hiding in Venus's orbit. This isn't the first time scientists have found a dust ring in the inner solar system. 25 years ago, scientists discovered that Earth orbits the Sun within a giant ring of dust. Others uncovered a similar ring near Venus's orbit, first using archival data from the German-American Heliospace Probe in 2007, and then confirming it in 2013 with stereo data. Since then, scientists determined that the dust ring in Earth's orbit come largely from the asteroid belt, the vast donut-shaped region between Mars and Jupiter, where most of the solar system's asteroids live. These rocky asteroids constantly crash against each other, sloughing dust that drifts deeper into the Sun's gravity, unless Earth's gravity pulls the dust aside into our planet's orbit. At first, it seemed likely that Venus's dust ring formed like Earth's, from dust produced elsewhere in the solar system. But when Goddard astrophysicist Peter Pokorny modeled dust spiraling towards the Sun from the asteroid belt, his simulations produced a ring that matched observations of Earth's rings, but not Venus's. So let's read that again. So Peter Pokorny modeled dust spiraling towards the Sun from the asteroid belt. Okay, so there's dust coming towards the Sun from the asteroid belt. But his simulations produced a ring that matched observations of Earth's rings, but not Venus's. I didn't get that. Okay, I'll keep reading. I didn't understand that, really. Okay, I'll read it again. Peter Pokorny modeled dust spiraling towards the Sun from the asteroid belt, but his simulations produced a ring that matches observations of Earth's rings, but not Venus's. I still don't understand that. Okay, I'll keep reading. This discrepancy made him wonder, if not the asteroid belt, where else does the dust in Venus's orbit come from? After a series of simulations, Pokorny and his research partner Mark Kuchner hypothesized it comes from a group of never-before-detected asteroids that orbit the Sun along Venus. They published their work in the Astrophysical Journal Letters on March 12, 2019. So there's somehow asteroids caught up in Venus's orbit. I don't know how they got there. And apparently that is where the dust comes from. Okay, so I guess what they were trying to say is dust around Earth comes from the asteroid belt, and the dust from Venus comes from asteroids that co-circle the Sun with Venus. Okay, so there's asteroids around Venus. So says Kuchner, and quote, "I think the most exciting thing about this result is it suggests a new populations of asteroids that probably holds clues to how the solar system formed." End quote. So if Pokorny and Kuchner can observe them, this family of asteroids could shed light on Earth and Venus's early histories. Viewed with the right tools, the asteroids could unlock clues to the chemical diversity of the solar system. Because it's dispersed over a larger orbit, Venus's dust ring is much larger than the newly detected ring at Mercury's, about 16 million miles from top to bottom and 6 million miles wide. The ring is littered with dust whose largest grains are roughly the size of those in coarse sandpaper. It's about 10% denser with dust than surrounding space. Still, it's diffuse. Pack all the dust in the ring together, and all you get is an asteroid 2 miles across. So it's not very dense, it's quite diffuse.
using a dozen different modeling tools to simulate how dust moves around the solar system. Pokorny modeled all the dust sources he could think of, looking for a simulated Venus ring that matched the observations. The list of all the sources he tried sounds like a roll call of all the rocky orbits in the solar system. Main belt asteroids or cloud comets, Halley-type comets, Jupiter family comets, and recent collisions in the asteroid belt. So said Kuchner, but none of them worked. So we started making up our own sources of dust, end quote. Perhaps the two scientists thought the dust came from asteroids much closer to Venus than the asteroid belt. There could be a group of asteroids co-orbiting the Sun with Venus, meaning they share Venus's orbit, but stay far away from the planet, often on the other side of the Sun. So there's asteroids that co-orbit with Venus, that share Venus's orbit, but they stay far away from the planet, often on the other side of the Sun. Weird. Pokorny and Kuchner reasoned the group of asteroids in Venus's orbit could have gone undetected until now because it's difficult to point Earth-bound telescopes in that direction so close to the Sun without light interference from the Sun. Co-orbiting asteroids are an example of what's called a resonance, an orbital pattern that locks different orbits together dependent on how their gravitational influences meet. Pokorny and Kuchner modeled many potential resonances. Asteroids that circle the Sun twice for every 3 years of Venus's orbit, for example, or nine times for Venus's 10, or one for one. Of all the possibilities, one group alone produced a realistic simulation of the Venus dust ring. A pack of asteroids that occupies Venus's orbit matching Venus's trips around the Sun one for one. So again, I'm going to talk about a resonance that I know about. It's in Jupiter, so Io orbits at a certain rate, and all the other, some of the other moons, like I think three of the other moons, or two of the other moons, orbit with Io, and they meet up at certain times. So for each one orbit of Io, let's say Ganymede orbits four times, or what's the other one? Europa orbits eight times, but they all meet at a certain time. So when they do meet at that same point, so for example, Io would orbit once and Ganymede would orbit eight times and Europa would orbit four times, all at the same time, they would all take the same amount of time to make those orbits. So at certain times they line up together, they meet, and that's called a resonance. So the gravity, when the moons meet, then their gravity pulls on Io, tugs it, and makes its surface stretch and everything, and heats it up, and you have volcanoes on Io because of that. Okay, so that's an example of a resonance. So this is another resonance. They saw that Venus's, when it goes around the Sun once, the asteroids also go around the Sun once, so that's a resonance. They thought it might be another type of resonance. They tested, for example, if the asteroids will go around nine times around the Sun for Venus's 10, one for one, or two for three. And they found that the asteroids, when they make one orbit, Venus also makes one orbit. But the scientists couldn't just call it a day after finding a hypothetical solution that worked. So says Pokorny, in quote, "We thought we'd discovered the population of asteroids, but then had to prove and show it works. We got excited, but then you realize, oh, there's so much work to do," end quote. So you know what? I have to do something now. I will go for a break. And when I come back, we're going to listen to more astronomy talk. This is Marco. You're listening to Astro Talk on CITR 101.9.
Tips on you, and she be hanging with the crew.
She's talking shit. Yeah, I see her in the dance with the gang, but she was just another girl in the room.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's not got my eyes on you, so you could have never take me for fool.
You see, right now, with me, we're like a dancer, no fool. She want me, she won't ever tell the truth.
Yeah, yeah. Pull up in an automobile with black wheels, red on my feet like somebody blood spilled. My swag dangerous.
us, my swag kills. They can't hang with us, they ain't real. Me on the team with them want get them girl dead though. Dash them in a casket.
Welcome back, this is Marco, and you're listening to Stephon Dawn again with Abracadabra, Astro Talk on CITR 101.9.
Papa, I feel live on the hill with the finest. Hunter, me know them not like this.
Said that people disappoint, but pizza is eternal. That adage is being put to the test with Canadians weighing in on pizza, love, and slice etiquette. 6 in 10 Canadians have some type of relationship deal breaker when it comes to pizza, but 1 in 3 have no pizza love limits at all. The top deal breaker was eating pizza in bed at 18%, and closely behind was anchovies on pizza at 17%. Next up were picks the cheese off at 10, eats pizza with a knife and fork at 8%, uses too much garlic dipping sauce at 7%, puts pineapple on pizza at 6%, doesn't eat the crust at 6%, and eats it cold at 4%. So cuddle up on the couch and share some za and some love.
Welcome back. Yes, pizza is king. So that's what aisle surface looks like. It looks like a pepperoni pizza. So let's go back to our article about dust in the solar system. So there's dust rings about the planets. And it says the next step is actually pinning down and observing the elusive asteroids that are orbiting around Venus. So if they haven't seen them, how can they theorize that they're there? So says Pokorny, and quote, if there's something there, we should be able to find it. What a brilliant quote, end quote. Now that's the best quote I've ever heard. Their existence could be verified with space-based telescopes like Hubble, or perhaps interplanetary space imagers similar to Stereo's. Then the scientists will have more questions to answer. How many of them are there and how big are they? Are they continuously shedding dust? Are they continuously shedding dust? Or was there just one breakup event? Okay, now this article looks like dust rings around other stars. In this illustration, an asteroid breaks apart under the powerful gravity of LSPM J02027+3331, a white dwarf star located around 145 light years away. Scientists think crumbling asteroids supplied the dust rings surrounding this old star. So the dust rings that Mercury and Venus shepherd are just a planet or two away, but scientists have spotted many other dust rings in distant star systems, like the one I just mentioned, around star, the white dwarf star LSPM J02027+3331. Okay, vast dust rings can be easier to spot than exoplanets and could be used to infer the existence of otherwise hidden planets and even their orbital properties. Isn't quite amazing all the things that these scientists are discovering? But interpreting extrasolar dust rings isn't straightforward. So says Kuchner, in order to model and accurately read the dust rings around other stars, we first have to understand the physics of the dust in our backyard. End quote. By studying neighboring dust rings at Mercury, Venus, and Earth, where dust traces are out, the enduring effects of gravity in the solar system, scientists can develop techniques for reading between the dust rings, both near and far. End quote. That was an interesting article in a way. I guess it just shows there's so much that we haven't learned, even though I'm quite amazed at how much that has been learned up to now, how many discoveries scientists are making, how they're proving their models correct. So it looks like there's dust rings around, and I guess that makes sense. The gravity is pulling the dust rings, and the gravity of the Earth, when it circles around, it gets the dust and it pulls it, and it makes a ring around the around our orbit. So that makes sense. Mercury does the same, and scientists are kind of amazed because they think, well, Mercury is so close to the sun would either burn it away, or Mercury wouldn't have enough gravity to make the dust rings, but it does. And now they're saying that there's Venus, there's asteroids circling Venus that are responsible for the dust. So I think scientists were saying here, the scientists in this article, they were saying that they are surprised that there's asteroids around Venus. So there's probably dust rings around other planets, and they're very far away, so I guess it would be more difficult to find them. But we know, look at what happens in Saturn. For some reason, there's the rings around Saturn that are ice, I guess ice and rock, and there's all kinds of rings around the solar system. So I guess you can look at this. They showed a picture in this article of the early solar system. So the early solar system, when it just started, the sun was and still is the biggest thing in our solar system. And it forms, it spins around, it accumulates matter. And when it spins, it makes like a disk, like a top. And out of these lanes, planets would form by accumulating. Clumps of dust would bang together, or blobs of dust would and matter would clump together, and they would form the planet. So there's in the older early solar system, and when solar systems form, or when stars form and their planets are forming, they have rings, and the rings clump together, or the material in the rings clump together, and there eventually they clump together big enough to make a planet. So now what the scientists are saying, there's other evidence now that there's the gravity of the planets as they circulate, they form a dust ring around the sun. Now, I don't know why they would have to do that or why that would happen. But anyway, let's go quickly to another article. And it says, Goddard, technologists and scientists prepare for a new era of human exploration. Mars 12 on www.nasa.gov. Goddard will provide laser communication services to NASA's Orion vehicle, shown this artist concept. Okay, so NASA scientists, engineers, and technologists are preparing for a new era of human exploration at the moon, which includes a new launch system, capsule, and lunar orbiting outpost that will serve as the jumping-off point for human spaceflight deeper into the solar system. Now, this is exciting because this is the future. It's happening now. NASA's Goddard Space Flight Center in Greenbelt, Maryland, is playing a vital role in these initiatives, particularly in the areas of communications and instrument development, as evidenced by the recent award of 5 proposals under NASA's Development and Advancement of Lunar Instrumentation, or DALI, D-A-L-I, to advance spacecraft-based instruments for use in lunar landing missions. The technologies needed for sustainable exploration at the moon will have to be powerful, multi-purpose, and fast, said Jake Bleacher, a chief scientist for the Human Exploration and Operations Mission Directorate. Transition to lunar communications. Goddard's legacy of providing communications between the ground and next-generation spacecraft will be the center's most significant contribution to the exploration of the Moon and Mars with NASA's Space Launch System, Orion spacecraft, and the Gateway. So, says Noah Petro, the project scientist in the Lunar Reconnaissance Orbiter, or LRO, which has thoroughly mapped the lunar surface and data that will inform future moon landings. So this is what he says, and quote, Houston may have broadcast Neil Armstrong's first words, but they had to first come through Goddard's communications hub, end quote. So this is quite exciting there. Imagine how much space work. I guess the U.S. is generous enough to give us, let us build the Canada arm. They didn't have to let us build the Canada arm, I guess. But anyway, they have so many initiatives when it comes to space. It's really quite amazing. So Goddard is preparing for a new era of human exploration. And that's too bad that the momentum was lost, after people landed on the moon. So anyway, thank you. I have to go to work now. So thank you for listening. This has been another edition of AstroTalk. I will be back next week. So thank you for listening. This is Marco. You have been listening to AstroTalk on CITR 101.9.
Daddy was a preacher, was a real good man. Mama loved him to the bone more than anyone can. Had a little wedding back in 73. By and by, baby made three. Had a little money in a beat up truck. Went up to the country just to try their luck. There was a whole teacher, but they still had to raise of a little honeymoon down in New Orleans. But the snow kept coming and the roads got bad, and Daddy got tired and Mama got sad. The road took Daddy away that night. Mama said she saw the angels. There was a whole